Wait, what?
I love you, dude. I love you, but you gotta let... Quit.
Try it again. Soundboard wig out there. This is Pure Decking, show number 519 for Thursday, May the 11th, 1997. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and my show notes just end with the word "and" there. I'm supposed to put a joke in, and I don't have one.
Writer's strike, most.
Writer's strike. I just don't have a joke, and you know I didn't think to bring up ChatGPT in time to ask me to give it a joke. So I'm just going to stare at the blank space of my notepad into the void of the white pixels.
Why was the snowman looking through a bag of carrots?
Well, he dropped his nose in there, and he wasn't sure which one it was.
He was picking his nose.
Well, tonight we have a madman. What's up, madman?
Get the gimp suit. Get the gimp suit, madman.
I'm helping.
Madman, we're going to have to punish you in the usual way for the bad joke.
I can come up with worse ones.
I know. But we all know you can't, Madman. And we have an RU.
Oh.
So. Anyways. I did try adjusting the audio levels for anybody who is telling me that the audio level was off. So if that's just let me know. But rough week for tech news this week. Of course, it's been a rough few months because it's all AI all of the time. But I mean, there's always the old, you know, go back to just reporting security breaches and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's not surprising anymore.
No, not shocked.
And it's the same thing every time. It's patch your shit, teach your people try to not call for social engineering. And, I mean, granted, that can be hard. And actually, with the whole AI stuff, you know, perfect repeated spam campaigns, having the AI generate new emails every time versus, I mean, yeah, that's going to make it harder. But
did you hear about the new AI scam going around?
Was that the one where they were claiming they're going to install AI and they really just loaded malware on your box?
No, it's where you call Granny and you faked grandkids' voice off some clips. They pull from Facebook.
I have heard of this one.
I'm in trouble, Granny. I've been arrested. I need cash, or they're gonna throw me in prison forever. Oh yeah, I'm in Tijuana, and they're gonna have me ass raped. That one.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
It is, but this is why you need to have the safety word. It sucks, but. Dude, if you have really bad news that you have to share with your parents or something like that, make sure you have a code phrase to let them know it's you and not fucking AI.
That is terrible that this could be good advice.
What they used to say, kids were supposed to establish some code phrases with their parents for, like, if they feel uncomfortable or they feel like they need help or something like that.
Yeah,
that used to be a thing.
Me and my wife have done that for about 12 months now. You know, if there's something bad or, you know, you need to hear something or, that you know, they need help and they can't say anything, just use a phrase.
Why is he blinking like that? I believe it's Morse code. No. Doesn't work.
And it's the same if I was ever to get an instant message from her, it would have a number at the end of the message. I'd know that it's real.
It's
sad but true, dude. You gotta start doing it. Talk to your parents, you know, and don't make it your pet or anything like that. Make it something really fucking bizarre.
Yeah, something you would actually have to know, not
exactly. I mean, it's just a sad reality, but as I said, good practice, good hygiene, dude. You won't get fooled.
It raises an interesting... there was a concept that was floating around a few years back of not encrypting emails, but cryptographically signing them. I mean, you still do it with, like, PGP keys and stuff like that, but I'm wondering if that's going to need to make a comeback. Not so much... In, you know, I mean, you could automate it. There are ways you could do it so it's like tied to a device or something like that. But, you know, as opposed to having to generate manual keys. And I mean, because you know, the real problem with PGP was that it was just a pain in the ass to use. But, yeah, I'm wondering if going back to that kind of a cryptographic signature is what needs to happen next so that not so much that you're proving that it's not an AI, just that you're proving that it's coming from you. You know, so if somebody's getting weird messages from you, they've at least hacked into your device, not so much just, you know, called somebody up and pretended to be you. So, fuck, that's a depressing conversation topic, but you're right, it is probably one that needs to happen.
It is, man. I'm just saying, like, current year and all.
Yeah.
There are bizarre things, taking things security more seriously than I would normally think. Like, today, I was going to make some spaghetti for dinner. Opened up the fridge, and my ground beef wasn't thawed. Now, I use that as an excuse to not cook, even though I know it's no problem to quickly defrost ground beef. But, I pull up DoorDash, and they just don't let you sign in anymore. They send you a code to verify it's you trying to get into your DoorDash.
Yeah, people have been hacking into DoorDash accounts.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, so I ordered pizza and probably saved myself some money.
Well, I don't know. I've noticed some of the pizza places around here use DoorDash to deliver the fucking pizza.
Yeah, but the fee isn't more.
True.
The delivery fee DoorDash charges to DoorDash is cheaper than the delivery fee they charge for delivering a pizza for a third party. And I think that's hilarious.
So.
I was going to complain about bloatware on TVs, but I just couldn't be bothered now. I'm sick of talking about it.
Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, yeah, my philosophy is... Buy the TV with the fewest smart features that you can, and then hook whatever device you want up on you want to it, because the device is going to go. I mean, I've got monitors that have lasted for a decade.
Well, that's what I'm going to do from now on. Next time I need another TV, I'm not actually going to buy a TV. I'm going to buy a monitor and then just plug shit into it.
Yeah,
get it to work. Yeah, I spent too much time fucking agonizing over the problems I was going to have. Trying to install this TV and get around problems, but I didn't think of the monitor idea until after I got the fucking TV working.
Yeah, and then that way, you know, if you want to hook a device up to it, you have the choice. If you want to unhook the device and do something else, you can, or if it's just the thing goes out of date. Because you think about it, all these people with all these smart TVs, okay, some big update or change comes out to where they've got to, you know, are they going to go back and push updates to all these TVs? No. These companies are terrible at supporting legacy devices. Instead, they'll say, oh, well, guess you got to go buy a new TV. It's like, but the old one's still good. Yeah, but you want the new features, you got to buy a new smart TV. Or, you know.
I'll buy a new Roku stick.
Yeah, exactly.
Buy an old crappy TV.
Yeah.
So. But, anyways, so I've got this article from TechSpot. It was in a few other places, but I thought this would be fun to talk about. Not so much because they're doing it, because it's kind of obvious, but because they bothered to do it versus what I thought drive-thrus were going to do. So, according to Wendy's chief executive Todd Pingor, the test bot will be very conversational, and some customers might not even realize they're not talking to a human employee. Software engineers with Wendy's have been working with the search giant to tweak its large language model for keywords and phrases specific to menu ordering. The company's milkshakes are known as Frosties, for example, but some customers might still refer to them as a milkshake. Other Wendy's slang, including Biggie Bag, is also integrated into the chat's vocabulary. I missed the first paragraph. That's why this doesn't make much sense. Your next interaction at the drive-thru could be with an AI chatbot instead of a human order taker, and you might not even know it. Fast food giant Wendy's has partnered with Google to trial an artificial intelligence chatbot at one of its restaurants in its state of in the home state of Ohio. The chatbot will be trained to understand how customers typically order items from the menu and interact in a natural way. Kevin Vasconi, Wendy's chief information officer, said early tests have been promising. Quote, it's at least good enough, at least as good as our best customer service representative, and it's probably on average better, he said.
And that's sad to hear.
And what should come as a surprise to absolutely nobody, the order-taking chatbot has also been programmed to upsell. It'll routinely ask if you'd like a larger size or would be interested in a daily special. And probably it's going to automatically try to add a tip, too. Pentagor said the goal of the chatbot is to help reduce long lines from forming at the drive-thru lane. Okay, taking the order is not where the lines are formed, by the way. It's waiting on the fries to cook. Which could prompt some potential customers to go elsewhere. In my experience with most fast food joints, it's not the long lines that turn customers away, but rather the slow pace and incorrect nature in which an order is prepared in the kitchen that's a problem. Other establishments like Chick-fil-A and In-N-Out have figured this out long ago and successfully managed long lines with efficiency. Wendy's chatbot rollout will start in June at a company-owned location in Columbus, Ohio. So, the thing is, I'm kind of surprised they're bothering with the chatbot. Because I just don't see that as an effective way to manage orders. I figured what they were going to do was they were going to say, oh, you want to go through our drive-thru? Okay, download our app. Go, you know, scan this QR code when you'd pull up, enter your order, and then just drive straight to the window. It'll have automatically paid through whatever payment you've set up on your phone. And you just get your bag and go. They weren't even going to bother with the old intercom and order screen. They were just going to have you order through your phone, scan a QR code, and then, you know, pay through the phone, and then just pick up the food and go. I figured they were going to skip the whole chatbot through the intercom entirely.
Well, marketing has to justify itself, Morps.
You think it's just a big publicity stunt?
Yes and no. It's an intermediary step before they decide to get rid of the chatbot altogether and go straight to the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, I will fucking stop going to the drive-thru. It pisses me off to no end right now when I go through. You're going to use our app? No, if I was going to use your fucking app, I wouldn't be in the damn drive-thru right now. Give me a damn cheeseburger.
I think the whole removing human interaction is going to backfire in the long run.
Well, they'll eventually have the entire Wendy's restaurant operated as a drive-thru with one very overworked employee and a whole bunch of robots.
Yeah, now you're starting to see the picture.
And then I'll be limiting myself to not chain fast food.
And they'll eventually say that I don't take cash anymore because that's just too difficult.
There are two places in the town I live in that only accept cash when you go through the fast food place. It's You can tell an out-of-towner whenever they go through there. Like,
yeah,
can't take my debit card?
I won't go to a place that has only self-service and doesn't take cash.
Well, I mean, the old... You know, So, yeah, that's a chain. But like Madman said, the best restaurants are the hole-in-the-wall restaurants that only the locals know about, that only take cash, and usually you're not entirely sure what's in the food. Usually those are the absolute best.
Oh, that's a Mexican place here, and I don't speak Mexican. I the way I order, I go in and I point at something on the menu. I want that one.
And the guy will nod, because he knows.
Yep. And he comes back with the check. Not sure how much he wants. All I know is if I hand him a 20, I get change back.
So...
Wow, all the luxury of traveling to an overseas country, but right at your doorstep, Madman.
Yep. And I love it. I mean, it's one of the few places where I feel like an ethnic group. And I've missed that since I've stopped having Vietnamese friends.
But I mean, this is, if they actually get the chatbot, because I mean, you're talking about a specialized situation, right? Taking orders at a drive-through. You're not having it, you know, being able to stop and expand and write a movie script or all the generic stuff people are doing with ChatGPT, right? It's just taking orders. And with the voice synthesis getting that much better, it might really be hard to tell that you're talking to a robot on the drive-through. I mean, they already do it with... it's usually done pretty poorly, but they already try to do it a little bit with some of the spam phone calls.
I mean, I don't go to drive-thrus. I just don't frequent fast food that much. But is it still near impossible to understand what they're fucking saying through that speaker?
Depends on the drive-through.
Okay.
Yes, there are some out there that are still very much like, okay, would you please take your head out of the bucket and tune the radio and try again?
Yeah. I mean, with modern audio and everything like that.
So, well, I'm wondering how many of them have started switching over to some kind of a digital system rather than the old analog ones. Because you used to be able to, you know, go up to the ones running an old analog one, tune around with a Baofeng, and find the frickin' frequency of the fast food headsets and start talking to the people on them. But,
You just give me an idea for this weekend. God, I'm going to have to get into ham radio now. God.
Only if you want it to be illegal.
Nah, I don't feel like being legal. I'll just get the headset, the radio, and go fuck around the McDonald's drive-thru.
Baofeng UV5R, depending on the one you get. Sometimes they're locked down, sometimes they're not. If they are locked down, let me know. I can help you with that. There's basically, it's got a Street Fighter sequence you can put into it to unlock it. And then it'll work on anything in the UAE.
Combine my love of drinking and fucking with people.
And then you can tune it to the business frequencies that you're not supposed to use and find shit like drive-thrus and air traffic control and a whole bunch of other channels you probably really shouldn't transmit on.
Hey, dude, air traffic control doesn't need my help in fucking shit up. they set two planes on a collision course last week.
Flight 193, I gotta land the plane. How do you do that in Excel?
Yeah. Much.
Okay, for the record, I should say, do not unlock radios if you do not know what you're doing, and do not transmit on frequencies you're not authorized to use. Now that I've covered myself...
It should go without saying.
Now that I've covered myself, you can get a cheap SDR dongle on Amazon for like $10 and just leave that running for a bit. You'll find all the frequencies in your area. It's not hard. So, then the little Baofeng will be able to transmit back if you want. It's not, again, you know, you probably shouldn't do it. Or at least, you know, move around a little bit, make it hard for them to figure out where you are. So, if you want to know how they're going to catch you, look up radio triangulation. Because that's how they do it. So.
Too many fucking cameras everywhere now to have any fun anymore anyway.
Yeah, that's probably true. I guess it depends on how creative you are when it comes to scoping a place out.
I realize I got a little too curious on my walk through the city this week after dropping my car off for a gearbox issue. I noticed the facial recognition camera, the new ones they put in, and I had a real good look. It was probably way too obvious me looking, because I was looking for serial numbers and manufacturer names.
Well, I tell you, I had to go up to the hardware store earlier this week and get a toilet flapper, because one of my toilets had a molding defect in the existing flapper and it started phantom flushing, right? Shit happens. In this case, we're talking about a toilet, so literally. But, you know, okay, replacement flapper's like $8, whatever. So I go get it, and I'm going through the U-scan to check out just because, you know, I don't feel like waiting on some, you know, high school kid who doesn't know how to type to figure out how to work a computer. And that's the sad part, is it's not that... I don't use the U-scan because, oh, I want to do it myself, or I don't mind to do it. No, I do it because I don't feel like dealing with a fucking cashier who can't tell their ass from a hole in the ground, you know?
Yeah.
And although usually if I see, you know, like a pensioner who's running a cashier, I'll go through that line because they're probably going to be fun to talk to, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, they, of course, they've got all these cameras and the screen right there on it. And when you look up at it, you see that the camera is actually doing the face recognition and putting a little box around your face. It's like, for fuck's sake. I know they're trying to be in your face so that you don't scam the machine or whatever, but jeez.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it recording? Yeah, probably. Is it recording for very long? Eh, not really.
It's tagging you and what you buy. Yeah. That's it.
It's like, here's a picture of a person fixing a toilet. Well, good for you.
I mean, it used to be a lot better when they weren't so intrusive about gathering data. Now it's, they don't even care anymore. They just shove it in your face.
Well, like I said, quite literally in my case, because that screen was right at face level.
I'm grabbing some booze, and I buy booze for a fortnight, so I buy a bit of booze. And I go to the same place regularly, and they're just remodeling right now. So it's scattered everywhere. I managed to get all my shit, and the chick comes up. She scans it all with a little hand scanner, and she goes, "Oh, I see you're not a member." Well, how the hell do you know that? Obviously, because they've got facial recognition and tagged me as non-member. And she goes, "Oh, I'll do you a 10% discount right now if you want to sign up." "No, I'm good." "Because it's 10% off your purchase today." And I went, "Yeah, but 10% today is my soul tomorrow." "No. You're strange." And walked off. I went, "No, it's... no." They don't get it. You don't want 10% off. You want to keep your soul.
Just tell them you're an escaped convict living under an assumed name and you can't create records.
Then I was informed after telling my wife this story that she signed up as a member. And I just... got my head and walked away.
So she signed up, so they get to track your purchases anyways.
Well, I pay cash when I go through because I don't want it on my key card, on my bank statement that I bought, you know, $200 worth of booze.
And for people in the States, that's not as much as you think. It's that they have a lot more sin taxes on their alcohol.
Oh, yeah, it's $60 for a 30-pack of beer.
Jeez, really?
What the fuck?
Dude, it's $470 for 200 cigarettes now. It's expensive as hell. Don't worry, we got free healthcare, though.
I can't afford to be a drunk and a smoker in your country.
That might be the idea, Madman.
That is the idea, Madman. And then they'll bitch and complain that they've got a big hole in the tax revenue because people aren't drinking and smoking because people are brewing their own booze and growing their own tobacco.
I actually know how to brew my own booze.
There's a massive black market. The black market is bigger than I've ever seen it in my entire life. I can get bottles of spirit for $25 for a liter of good homemade spirits. People are flogging it. Like, there are so many people selling homemade booze and cigarettes that the price in the black market has gone down because of the amount of competition there is.
Well, I tell you, the homegrown tobacco and booze is probably better for you than the mass-produced stuff. It's probably cleaner.
The guy I'm getting the booze from, man, I was a little suspect at first, but that's good shit. And he's got more of it than you poke a stick at.
Well, yeah, it makes sense to make it in bulk.
Yeah, I just got to get an illegal tobacco hookup now, and I'm good.
Well, speaking of weird shit that's illegal, I got this story out of France here from The Connection. It's, connectionfrance.com, and it's spelled with an X. Drivers in France strongly advised to avoid dashboard cameras.
Why?
Because the legal system doesn't like having to deal with shit. It's obvious. Sales of dash cams are starting to take off in France, with most car parts shops offering models from 50 euros. But their use falls into a legal gray area. Exact figures are hard to come by, but a survey in 2015 estimated there were at least 300,000 dash cams bought in France that year. It is now not uncommon to see the cameras in cars parked on the street, even in small rural towns. Some even have features that set off the camera if anyone is close to the parked car or if the car is touched by another vehicle. Images are usually sent to the owner's smartphone where they can then be stored. Dash cam evidence was collected by the police in the horrific head-on crash where a car driven by actor-comedian Pierre Palamede hit a car with a family in it, causing severe injuries and a 7-month-old pregnant woman to lose her baby. Okay, yeah, that's horrific. A dash cam fitted to the car of someone who stopped to help recorded two young men who were in Palamede's car running away. Two suspects were later arrested after a manhunt was launched. Palamede, who was badly injured, was found to be under the influence of cocaine at the time and was put in detention in hospital. France has very strict privacy laws, and among them is a law that states that while it is legal to film or photograph people in public spaces in France, you cannot use the images without the express consent of all the people who might be identified, either through their features or the car they drive. Obviously, people who've recorded someone driving into their car or filmed another driver being aggressive towards them will want to use the images, but doing so can be complicated. Some years ago, the German insurance company Allianz, which has a big presence in the French market, offered a discount to clients who use dash cams. Now the company seems to have removed the offer. It is not available on its website, and it did not respond to repeated requests for information. Similarly, car maker Citroën, which offers dash cams as factory-fitted options on new C3 and C4 models, went silent when asked how the images they record might be used. The CNIL Data Protection Commission told The Connection there was no specific legislation related to them, but it is strongly advised that people did not use them. Quote, while we are waiting for government or parliament to come up with laws concerning their use, we are vigilant on the questions and have carved out legal exercises within the CNIL considering various scenarios, it said. As a result, we strongly recommend that taxis, minicabs, and individuals do not have any device which records, even partially, public spaces, unquote. So here's what's happening. They are literally telling people in France, you're not allowed to have dash cams because you can't get consent from everyone who might be on it. Now, they're telling people that. They haven't actually passed a law to that effect. But if you want to take somebody to court because they've done something illegal and damaged your vehicle or tried to do, say, the classic insurance fraud of diving into your car and you have it on camera proving it was an accident, not only can you have fun by posting the thing on YouTube saying, look at this idiot who dove into my car, if it's a violation of the privacy laws, can you even use it as evidence in court?
According to this, unless they give you permission, no.
Well, of course nobody's going to give you permission to use it. You know, if you're sitting there trying to do insurance fraud or got in a big, you know, crash with them, of course if you're trying to maintain, you're not going to let them use that footage.
Yeah, so until France fixes this, you run afoul of them by using a dash cam to prove you're being fucked. Because they can be identified fucking you.
It seems a bit ass backwards, but privacy laws are good.
Privacy laws can be good. This one seems to be bad. I'm thinking if you're in public, you're in public, and it sucks, but you don't have privacy in public. That's why they call it public.
Yeah.
No, you have privacy in your house, but on a public road? No, that's a public road.
So they've got, you know, a little further down here, if you are in an accident where another driver is at fault, to be strictly within the law, you have to tell them straight away that you have a camera and that the incident was filmed, he said. You then have to transmit the images to the other driver as quickly as you can, and also to the police if they are involved, because if you wait, the presumption is that you have manipulated the images. Quote, obviously the best way of doing that is through your lawyer or insurance company, but you have to be quick about it, and it's not always easy to get personal details so you can send the images, unquote. He said that if someone tells you you have been recorded, you can say you do not give consent for the images to be used and if you think you might be at fault. Quote, but while you have the right to oppose the images, which may or may not help your case with the insurance company, the courts also have the right to use the images gathered as evidence against you if they are presented to them by the authorities. So in other words, unless you give them to the cops right away, you have to basically, if you're in a wreck, you better let the cops take your camera so that it can actually be used in court if you need to go that far.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no problem with that, handing it over straight away.
Okay.
Well, at least it's guaranteed the data isn't manipulated.
Well, you know, if you trust your authorities for such a thing.
I don't trust the authorities, but catch 22, my friend. Catch 22.
Yeah, that's kind of why I bring it up, because like you said, it's interesting about the way they're doing it, and like, in, you know, privacy laws can be good both ways, but this is a little absurd that you can't even use a dash cam because, oh, the people on there didn't give consent for it to be used. Or, you know, can you go to the department store and say, and rob the place, and then say, by the way, you have to delete all your security camera footage. I didn't give consent to be filmed.
Oh, and that one? There's an argument of whether or not you're in public.
Yeah, of course not. But, I mean, it's so asinine you could see the argument being made. So, anyways, next article, or do you have anything else on that?
I have something slightly tech related, but it is an image really quickly. I just want to share this with you. Have you ever come across anything like that in your life before?
Yeah, Glade plugin.
Yeah, but look at this. It takes like CDs.
Yeah.
A lot of the Glade plugins, their refills are CD.
Okay. I just came across that image. It's an air freshener that takes compact discs.
Well, it's a cleverly made heating unit, and their discs are just the carrier for the wax fragrance or whatever it is. They've got it tied to a mail order system, so it looks like the old... Yeah,
you can get one on eBay for $29.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'd never seen these things, and I'm into like all sorts of weird old tech. I've not seen that
exact thing, no, but when I read what it is, I'm like, oh, it's a fancy-shaped Glade air freshener.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of them on eBay, and they're not that expensive. Okay, sorry to derail it, I just...
You could probably... If you were, you know, curious about it, you could probably get one of those things and then manufacture your own discs to put in it. I'm sure it's just a plastic carrier for a wax disc with the scent in it.
I just never seen one before.
So,
and it is current year and things are fake everywhere.
Oh, geez. Use AI generated images to make fake retro products so you can list a few on eBay and charge. That's a scam. That's an idea.
Yeah.
You know, go on Reddit. Hey, look at this old eggs thing I found. Looks like they're super rare. Here's my eBay posting. Don't be that obvious about it, but you know.
One off, like a prototype Atari 2600.
Yeah. Well, claim to have one of the original Commodore 65s. I think there are only like four or five of them made. So.
Oh, you would have loved a thread last night, Morps. It was an old IBM thread. Post everything old.
It's like old PC Juniors and shit?
Punch cards, man. Punch card programming and stuff like that it ended up in. It was really good.
Oh, geez. I never had to do punch cards.
Dropping those would be hilarious to watch somebody else.
Did you learn very quickly to number your punch cards.
Yeah.
But now, are these machine-generated punch cards, or are these old-school punch cards where...
One of the first images I saw was like a typewriter for
old-school manual punch cards. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. The manual punch cards were used because computer runtime was too expensive to waste. You know, it was too expensive to waste runtime on the computer to compile programs from handwritten assembler code to machine code. So they had somebody by hand translating the instruction sets to the punch cards to run the machine code and basically converting it into binary so that they could be read in from the punch cards. I think later hex, but geez, my history is out of date on that stuff. It's been forever since I've read up on it. But yeah, the early punch cards, they were literally programmed by hand in machine code because the runtime on the computer is too expensive to waste time running a compiler.
Anyway, I derailed this show enough. Next story.
Okay. Next story is from the eveningstandard.co.uk. Pearson is taking legal action over use of its content to train language models as it announces its own AI plans. Textbook giant Pearson is currently taking legal action over the use of its intellectual property to train AI models. Chief executive Andy Bird revealed today as the firm laid out its plans for its own artificial intelligence-powered products. The firm laid out its plans for how it would use AI a week after its share price tumbled by 15% as American rival Chegg said its own business had been hurt by the rise of ChatGPT. Those plans would include AI-powered summaries of Pearson educational videos to be rolled out this month for Pearson Plus members, as well as AI-generated multiple-choice questions for areas where a student might need more help. Bird said Pearson had an advantage as its AI products would use Pearson content for training, which he said would make it more reliable. However, he also added that the business was also monitoring the situation regarding other businesses using Pearson content to train its AI. He said Pearson had already sent out a cease and desist letter, but it did not say who it was addressed to. So just to be clear, here's what they're saying. They're saying only our artificial intelligence is allowed to read our textbooks.
But what if I bought the textbook?
They're going to sue you. For using their content in a way they don't approve of. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Say it again, Madman. I think I stepped on you.
But I own my textbook.
No, not according to Pearson, you don't.
I mean, I remember paying for it. And I remember the bastards not buying them all back. So I still have an African American literature textbook in my bookshelf. And that's not too bad because it's got some pretty cool poems in it, and, you know, it's better than other textbooks I could have been stuck with.
Well, I always did enjoy where you had to buy the textbook that the professor wrote for, like, $150, and I'm sure it's twice that now. And then at the end of the semester, you go to sell it back, and it's like, yeah, we'll give you $5 for it.
Yeah, because we're changing three lines in the next print, mm-hmm. So it's going to be a different book.
But yeah, I did have a few where the textbook was one the professor wrote, and you had to buy it from them for like $80, and it was just a photocopied pile of shit. It's like, if you wrote it, couldn't you have at least ran it off on a laser printer so it didn't look quite so stupid? But, yeah, I did have a couple of them. And it's like, wow, cash grab much? Anyways,
the greatest scam ever devised.
Quote, we're committed to protecting that IP, and we're following developments in fields such as music and photography with great interest, he said. Really? You weren't? Were you trying to quote Palpatine there? quote, we take great efforts and will continue to do so to protect our IP. We are in litigation with the company and have sent a cease and desist letter, but I won't go any further specifics. We've also been approached to license our IP and at the time decided not to go down that route, but there may be benefits of licensing our IP at certain circumstances, i.e. give us enough money. Unquote. Bert, okay, he didn't say give us enough money. I added that, but I said unquote at the wrong spot. So, Bird also said it was usually easy to tell what large language models such as ChatGPT had been trained on. Quote, because you can ask it, unquote. Bird also sought to point out a difference between Pearson and Chegg, which focuses more on homework assistance. Quote, They are in a very different business to us, he said. We see a great differentiator between what Chegg offered and what Pearson Plus are offering. We're in the business of helping you learn and improve your skills, not in the business of answering, unquote. He added that as Pearson was in the business of learning, its products would be hard to replace, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, they're literally saying, no, no, your AI is not allowed to read our textbooks, no matter how you acquired them. That's what he's saying. If you bought a text and you just feed it into the computer is reading the textbook, right? I'm oversimplifying.
It's version of reading.
So, are they literally saying you're not allowed to read the book in certain circumstances?
Yes.
Maybe this is the beginning of the forbidden knowledge.
I mean, that's what I'm kind of wondering. Because it's like,
you're not allowed to read this book until you pay us X amount of dollars.
I bought access to that knowledge. I get to use that knowledge for whatever the fuck I want to use it for.
You can only rent that knowledge, madman, for $5.95.
Look, I rented that knowledge. I'm going to use it for whatever the hell I want to use it for.
Well, I mean, take this to the next logical step. Oh, well, you used a Pearson textbook to learn to code. We're going to need a licensing fee for every program you write. Oh, you used a Pearson textbook to learn chemistry. Well, we're going to need a fee for every drug you develop, because that was our copyright that you've used.
That's starting to sound like where it could be heading, Morps.
Well, you get the brain scanners that they're using on the Chinese kids in the article you sent me last week. And, I mean, it's like, oh, we've detected 435 copyrighted works of music in your head just in the last year. If you want to continue to remember these, you'll have to pay us a licensing fee of, whatever it is. Otherwise, we'll microwave your brain to make you forget them.
Don't give them ideas.
Oh, what was the YouTube video? I forget. Their channel went on and actually got big, but early on they made an animatic talking about somebody whose brain had been downloaded after they died. And that was one of the things of, oh, if you want to continue remembering these musical works you've witnessed, you need to pay this license fee. Oh, your credit check has failed. We'll delete these for you.
Yeah.
So.
Rent your memories. $5.95 a month.
Well, as soon as we get Neuralink, I mean, you think somebody's not going to think to do that?
You'd have to be fucking brain dead to get it done to start with.
Oh, there'll be people who do it.
Oh, no doubt, man. No doubt. Go right ahead. Get Gen 1, get Gen 2, get Gen 3. Don't come fucking near me.
As soon as I can put a firewall in between me and everyone else with it, then I might think about it. Anyways, let's see here. 43 minutes. All right. Next article. This one is from thegamepost.com. Madman, did you have anything on that?
No, we can move on.
All right. Bungie, the developer of the popular online multiplayer game Destiny 2, has won a massive $16 million lawsuit against Elite Boss Tech, a company that sold cheat codes for the game. In late August of 2021, Bungie filed the lawsuit against Elite Boss Tech, a Canada company apparently, and the defendants who developed, marketed, and sold the cheating software for Destiny 2 through a website, wallhacks.com. Fast-forwarding to June 2022, defendant Robert James Duthie Nelson, owner of Elite Boss Tech, agreed that, quote, Wallhacks cheat willfully violated Bungie's two copyrights associated with Destiny 2, unquote, and that the cheat, quote, circumvented the technological measures Bungie employs to control and limit access to the Destiny 2 software, unquote. I've never understood how cheating software violates copyright, because it's modifying the game data in memory. It's not distributing a new copy of the game data. I've never understood how that's considered a copyright violation.
Me either.
So, Thanks to the consent judgment and the settlement with Nelson, Bungie was able to identify two other defendants, Patrick, that's a name, Schaffosis, and Daniel Fairberg Larson. Schaffosis also agreed to cooperate with Bungie after getting served with the lawsuit. So basically what's happening is they're saying, look, we're going to ruin your life if you don't narc on everyone else involved, and that's what they're doing. However, Larson didn't appear even after getting the notice of the lawsuit. Nelson stated that Larson, quote, was aware of the litigation, but believed he was beyond the reach of the courts, unquote. He's just on the run. He's burned everything. He's microwaved his hard drives. He's on the run. This led to Bungie seeking the entry of default judgment against the defendant, Daniel Larson, in the amount of $17,278,305.73 in total. Because 74 cents would have been too much.
Exactly.
Quote, this total represents the sum of $13,530,000 in statutory damages under the DMCA, $466,718.90 as damages for its copyright claim, which Bungie asked to be trebled to $1,400,156.71, and $666,666 in actual damages for its breach of contract, RICO, CFAA, and CPA claims. Okay, $666,666 in damages. Really? I think somebody was trying very hard to make that number come out. I mean, it's like Madman trying to order fast food.
Are you Satan, sir?
Only on the internet. The RICO, CFAA, and CPA claims Bungie asked to be trebled at $1,999,998 in attorney fees and $80,263.92 in costs. So, yes, these numbers are ridiculous, but nearly $300,000 in attorney fees and nearly another $100,000 in costs. You want to know why companies aren't held to account? It's because the cost of the legal system means anybody who's not a big multinational can't afford it. Good God. However, after reviewing the evidence submitted by Bungie on the copyright claims, the court came to the conclusion that, quote, Bungie has failed to meet its burden to provide admissible evidence for actual damages, unquote, and entered a default in the amount of $300,000 instead of the requested $1,400,156.71. I wonder if they put the weird cents in there to make it look like they did some kind of math to come up with the number rather than picking just a round number out of their ass.
Yeah, I don't know.
In summary, Bungie won a total of $16,178,149.02 in award and damages from this lawsuit. And they've got the link to the actual court documents below. Jesus. $13,530,000 for DMCA violations, $300,000 for copyright, the full amount for the RICO, and the attorney's fees and costs. The court finds that the default judgment is appropriately entered in Bungie's favor in all but the CPA claim. The court also finds that the entry of a permanent injunction on the terms specified above is appropriate and necessary. The documents have also revealed that the Wallhacks cheat software was downloaded 6,765 times, with Bungie requesting $2,000 for each download, with Larson's profits totaling, $466,718 per court documents. So, okay, Bungie knows that they are never going to see the actual amount of money out of this that they were just awarded, because these guys are going to bankrupt, and apparently the one guy's making a run for the border right now and will pop up somewhere in Mexico, right? But the point here is that they have taken so much money off these guys who made less than $500,000 selling cheats, you know, that they just destroyed their lives.
Yeah.
This is the third time
he's
that
more
Bungie...
vindictive than
no
anything
kidding.
Else.
The third time that Bungie has won a default judge a lawsuit via default judgment. The previous victories were against veteran cheats and lobby cheats, with damages awarded at $12 million and $6.7 million respectively. So, again, I don't understand how this violates copyright law. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of people cheating in games, but
it's
not
a copyright issue.
Well, I don't even see how it's a legal issue. It's at best a terms of service violation.
Yeah.
Depending on who's running the servers, it could be a fraud issue. They're defrauding me if you have to play on whoever's server. Like, okay. If they're not running their own private server, I'm being defrauded every time I lose to somebody cheating.
Okay, fair
enough.
Yeah,
how many times do you go back to a server that you know there are active cheats in?
If I don't have a choice, like Overwatch, I don't have a choice in which server I join. I'm whichever one I get assigned to.
Okay.
So if their game is running anything like most modern first-person shooters, you're first come, first serve. You're stuck wherever you are. Yeah. Okay.
But again, I don't understand how it's a copyright violation. I don't understand how they're getting these numbers out of cheating in a video game. Because they're not republishing. How are they republishing their content? How are they selling access? I mean, it's a cheat for a game. It's called wall hacks, for God's sake. That means you can see through the wall and shoot people that you shouldn't be able to see. It's obnoxious, and it's cheap in a video game to cheat like that, but you don't take somebody to court because they switched the board around in checkers when you weren't looking.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's fair, but it is what it is now.
Yeah.
Case is done.
I mean, their software is at best modifying the code in memory, which... The code has to be copied into memory to run in the first place. That's how computers work. So, I don't understand the copyright argument. I really don't. Now, granted, it's a default judgment against the one guy because he just didn't show up to court. I'm guessing the other two people had much lesser judgments, and the numbers are from the default judgment that they got. But I still don't. I still don't understand how that's a copyright claim. I guess because there's no other legal precedent to go after their cheating in my online video game. But that, to me, seems like they shouldn't be winning these cases if that was the case. It's like, how are they republishing content? How are they violating copyright by selling a game cheat? You know, if I sell a device... You know, if you sell a car and I sell a device that you put on the tailpipe so that it makes a raspberry noise as you're driving around, it's obnoxious, it's stupid, but I don't think the person making the car can sue me for selling something that's annoying to everybody who's not using it.
Yeah, like I said, I don't see it as modification, but I was going at it from a fraud point. You're helping to defraud me.
Well,
if
yeah,
I'm a legitimate player.
The lawsuit didn't allege fraud. It alleged copyright infringement. And the majority of those damages are from statutory copyright claims.
Like, all the damages. Except for we get to recoup the cost of suing you because we won.
Yeah, so I don't get it. I really don't. And last story, and then we'll close it. I don't have a dojo for tonight, so we'll just do this last story here. This will be short and sweet. You guys have anything else on that?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right, this is from Android Police. YouTube has started blocking ad blockers. We all knew it was going to happen. YouTube Premium subscribership grew to a record 80 million users in 2022. Good God. And Google responded by announcing it would be investing more into the subscription offerings in 2023. What we didn't realize at the time was that what that could mean for handicapping its free offerings to get more people to pay for the service. when watching videos yesterday when Redditor encountered a pop-up informing them that, quote, ad blockers are not allowed on YouTube, unquote. The message offered a button to allow YouTube ads in the person's ad blocking software and then went on to explain that ads made the service free for billions of users and that YouTube Premiums offers an ad-free experience. It even provided a button to easily sign up for premium membership. Moderators of the YouTube subreddit received a message from the YouTube team confirming the prop-up was part of an experiment the company was running. It appears to be very limited, as they've literally only found one user reporting it, but it could be a sign of things to come. Google's long been at odds with ad blockers, banning purpose-built ad-blocking apps in the Play Store in 2016, implementing changes in Chrome that could spell doom for ad-blocking extensions in the near future. However, ad blockers have been largely ineffective with YouTube's embedded ads, so the test seems less about blocking ad blockers and more about pushing YouTube Premium. It was only about a year ago that Google finally succeeded in killing YouTube Vanced, a popular third-party YouTube app that blocked embedded ads without a YouTube Premium subscription. Even if this experiment never sees a wider rollout, it seems the company is committed to its ad-supported revenue model and wants to assure that the only way you don't see ads is by giving them $12 a month for Premium. Surprising, I would assume, no one.
So YouTube looking to, you know, be obscure because... Fuck YouTube, I'll just go to Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, anywhere but YouTube, fuck them.
Well, I mean...
They aren't the only game in town anymore.
And they are so aggressive with the ads. I mean, some of these videos, it's like every 2 minutes it stops and plays a two-minute ad.
Yep.
It does make the service unusable.
I haven't had more than every five... And that's if I'm just doing music videos. Otherwise, it's even fewer than that on most of the videos I watch.
Well, yeah, a lot of channels backed off on it because it was getting ridiculous. But I mean,
they're not the only game in town. Who cares? Move on. They want to be dicks. Let them be dicks.
Okay.
Well, they're not the only game in town when it comes to some obscure stuff, but a lot of mainstream content... It's on YouTube, and the publishers aren't necessarily going to Rumble.
And I need to watch them then.
Or other people are going to repost their stuff for them on other systems anyways.
I'm not seeing YouTube being particularly hurt.
Yeah, I'm just saying from my standing point, is that if I can't watch their videos because I run ad block, fuck them. I'll go somewhere else.
And... I'm saying that's cool, but I don't see a problem with YouTube blocking ad block.
No, they can do what they want. Like, I can do what I want.
I'm giving you free content. You're not the customer. My customers are these guys paying me ad revenue. You're here because you get to watch this stuff for free. I'm getting paid, and the content creator's getting paid from these ads.
I'm not disputing it, man. I'm just saying that if I can't watch it there, I'll go somewhere else. I'm not brand loyal at all.
Do you believe in actually supporting the content creators?
And if you want to make something, put it out on YouTube and want to charge for it, great. But don't put it behind a paywall. Put it behind a paywall to start with. Don't stop your video halfway through and fucking e-bag for your Patreon shit. Dude, that's I click off. I don't care how good your content is. You start e-bagging or selling fucking merch, I'm out of there. But if you want to just put something up to entertain other people and you enjoyed making it or you enjoyed doing that, you go right ahead. But if you're doing it to make money, that's great. Go behind a paywall. Don't put it out. And don't start eat begging. Just go behind the paywall straight away.
Is this where I do a Patreon ad for Galaxy 15?
I can't get into the country to kill you yet.
It's like, are you doing? Well, he's going to show up to kick my ass, and then we're going to go get a beer.
I just find it obnoxious. Either don't put it out for me to watch, or give it away for free.
Other people paying for me to be able to watch stuff for free. And that's what an ad is. It's General Motors paying for me to watch Bugs Bunny for free. Or whatever it is I'm watching for free. And it also gives me time to go grab a beer and take a piss.
And maybe I'm a little more militant on my shit.
You know,
now, what pisses me off is the Hulu model where they charge you a subscription and show you ads. No, I'm fucking paying. Well, somebody else is paying you. $14 fucking bucks a month. I shouldn't have to watch ads.
Exactly.
Then fuck how you, Hulu. How do you explain cable TV then?
Cable TV?
Well, I remember that used to be ad TV, free until it wasn't.
Yeah.
Everything's ad free until it's not.
I don't remember basic cable ever being ad free. And the way that was working is the channels, like in the States, TBS was actually paying a cable company to put TBS in their package. And TBS was making money off the ads that were on TBS.
I remember
that's
the
way cable originally worked out in this country.
The first cable company that came here.
Nope, or you just went mute.
Sorry, I had to cough. It was ad-free. That's how they sold it.
Well,
and it was probably about 3 years into it. That's when the ads started.
Here, cable companies like Spectrum or Roadrunner, just whatever they were, they charged individual cable companies like USA or TNT to be in their bundles. And that's the way the cable company made money. And the way the individual channels made money was selling ads. Now, there were premium packages that were ad-free. I don't know how the hell they got pulled off, but you just paid extra for those. Like Home Box Office, also known as HBO, Showtime, and you paid your normal cable fee and then paid an extra fee if you wanted the premium channels. And then eventually, some of the cable channels got popular enough that they're like, no, fuck this, you're going to pay us if you want to run our content. And started double dipping because they didn't get rid of their ad revenue.
All right. Well, of course, that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream we're always working up, Pure Decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. In the IRC tonight, we had Al Hazard, Cyberlard, Madman, myself, and Sardonyx. And I should point out, whereas I did not use the links Psychro sent me directly, I did use one of the news sites he showed me through that link to get some of the others. So, indirect thanks to Psychro for some of the stories tonight, I guess. Madman, closing thoughts.
Don't charge me if you're going to show me ads. Fuck you, Hulu. I just wanted to repeat that because it's worth repeating.
Yeah, it's always worth repeating. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Yeah, pretty much with Madman. I just wouldn't pay anyway. I'd fucking ride the high seas.
All right. Well, I think it's time to play sound effects.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Wait, what?
Messing up the soundboard again.
Do not run! Freeze! Do not run! There is no issue here!
Nuclear warhead approaching.